What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about Tulos Distribution. They are one of the most technologically advanced distributors in music. They distribute to more stores than any of the distributors around. They distribute, they give you 100% of your royalties. They only charge you $3 a month, and you have an instant option to get an advance from these guys. So if you're watching this and you want to be in the music business and you're trying to figure out how to get help, I'm here to tell you, go to Tulos.com and use the word GODS as your coupon code, and you get the first 3 months free.
Peace and love is Rick the Negotiator.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And this is Artist Spotlight presented by Tulos. Hey. And today we have a legendary MC who I met in 05 at Mix Show Power Summit. Mm-hmm. Seeing him here 19 years later, I just caught him on a Jordan Lucas tour, killing it. I just listened to his project, killing it, rap, supreme rap. And today we're gonna talk about his journey, how he got here, and what's the plan going forward. So everybody give it up for Grav. Let's go. Pop, James. I'm fucking with you. but I like to have fun. So Grav, what's up, my brother?
Chilling, man.
Welcome to the show, man. I appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you having me, word.
So I was listening to the project, and me having music ears, and Rick, you could weigh in. You are, if there was like, say if there's like rapper with Zero, right? And Zero might be the rapper that's just like A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. And then you have 100, and 100 is bars. Like, this nigga wants you to know he can rap. You are in the 100 percentile right now, my
Thank
brother.
You.
So I wanted to ask you, like in this world of rappers, and by the way, I love doing these kind of conversations because there are so many people that have excuses. Mm-hmm. There's so many people out here who are like, man, if I just, or all I need is this, or the gang don't like this, or, and obviously bars haven't been the premier attribute to have in rap to be successful, right? Mm-hmm. It's more about your catchy lyrics or your melodies or your gimmicks or your hairstyle. It's not about what you're saying. You've been in this 20 years at least, and you still have stayed true to the concept of being a real MC. You didn't chase. You didn't say, man, let me go make a hot in here. You never did that. You was like, I'm gonna be Grav. I want to ask you, like, was that strategic, or was that stubbornness? Was it just like, what was it that made you that person that said, I'm dedicated to this?
I just believe in being the most authentic you can. And I really care about the culture and the craft. Like, I really care about the shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people get into it as a hobby or something to do, or their friends is doing it, or they want the money. Like, I give a fuck about the culture. Yeah. I just care about it.
Yeah.
And I just take it from that point. And it's not even a matter of like not trying to make other kind of records that ain't quintessential hip hop. Cause I feel as an MC, you're supposed to kill every goddamn beat.
Yep.
So a lot of records that I might make that I like that might not fit my fan base sometimes, I end up selling them. Like, I've been ghostwriting for your favorite rappers, rapper for my whole fucking career. But I make every, as a creative, I make every type of record.
Yeah.
But I just put out the ones that I think my fans gonna resonate with more. Mm. But this year or next year, I'm gonna start putting out other kind of records. Hopefully I don't get mad because I make anything. See, I got it to be easy.
Can we get two or three in there with you? I'd love to make a couple records with you, bro.
Oh, I would love that. No, yeah, serious. Facts. Yeah,
you
yeah,
come
yeah.
to Atlanta, I'll come to New York, but
I'll come to Atlanta.
Studio, everything is on me.
That'd be dope.
You ain't got nothing to worry about.
I promise I'll come. Yeah, I would love that.
And we do a couple records together because I like to, because I've done A&R, I'm a manager of creatives, I've worked with producers who've always shown me there's another route if you just pick it, right? So,
right.
You know, even with, like, I believe that there's a world where bars can work if it's presented a certain way. So we ain't gonna get off on that, but I'd love to get in with you.
Right.
I would love to. You're gonna be like, Ray, nigga, I didn't even know that. I'm like, I'm telling you, we're gonna make some shit.
I believe that.
We're gonna make some shit, but.
I believe that.
Yeah, but you still are dedicated to the art and craft of it. I wanted to just ask you, is it because you're from Queens and Nas is from Queens? Like, I feel like when I'm talking to New York rappers, that lineage, like, Do you ever have like Nas and like, by the way, I looked up the Dame Dash. Mm. So anytime I did something, I was like, I want to know what this nigga thinks about what I'm doing. Cause you know, like that's the nigga that inspired me to do what I'm doing.
That's real shit.
So when you, do you ever think about Nas? Cause I'm like, you're such a MC, bro. And I'm just like, where did that come from?
You know what's crazy? Nas is the reason why I started rapping.
Bro, I could just see that. Cause I'm like, bro, I heard it.
Yeah, Nas is the reason why I started rapping. My early raps, when I heard Illmatic, when I first heard Illmatic, I was too young to even understand. I thought it went over my head.
Yes.
I was like, oh, this is whatever. I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Then I heard it like a year or two later. I was like, oh my fucking God.
Yeah.
He was the first rapper that I noticed two things. One, he was rapping about what he was seeing outside his window.
Yeah.
And I'm from the hood too. So I'm like, I see the same shit outside of my window. He rapping about what I'm seeing every day. And then the way he was being so lyrical within 16 bars, I was like, a lot of niggas couldn't stay on topic and still kick some shit like that. So it just made me want to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's that, I mean, you know how I feel about Nas, but the era we came up in, that was the era of the spitters, man. Like
you had to be nice.
You had to be nice. You had to be nice.
There was none of this.
There was no, you wasn't getting through.
Hell no. Nah.
You had
to be nice.
You had to be nice. And if you wasn't nice, your team, everybody was whack around you.
Right.
Like it was like your manager was whack.
No,
whack
you didn't matter.
It's like you had to get around.
You had to be nice.
You had to be. So did you, so you come up, you say you want to rap. So I want to ask you, like, how have you been able to stay in this game, stay relevant in this game, keep your good relationships in this game, and still like, nigga look young. You don't look stressed.
Good.
Look, nigga just, I always tell people on the show, I ask them, I always tell my team on the show, I'm like, you can always tell when a rapper is up to date, by what? By what he wears. Yep.
Right.
If a nigga come, because most niggas dress like the year they was the hottest.
think about it.
My Uncle Derek still rocks his Yankee hat up like this with his New Balance on and his sweats, and you can't tell him.
He ain't fresh. You can't tell me I ain't fresh, nigga.
If I want to update a little bit, he just be like, yo, give me some newer New Balances. I saw some new ones I like.
It's some newer Balances.
Yeah, some newer balances. so always, you can always tell when someone's up on a culture by their clothes. So we ain't got to even ask how, but like, what, like, were you, was your pulse to the streets? Were you had young niggas around you, or was you just like a gladiator in this shit? Like, I don't see nothing else but me doing this, so I gotta make sure I'm in it.
It's a combination of all that. Keep it 100. Like, one, I'm definitely like a gladiator in it, and it's go. My mentality is there's no losing. Yeah. I feel like success is a choice.
Yeah,
you gotta wake up in the morning, but like, I'm getting to it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's it. You choose to be successful. That shit don't just happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a hint of good luck and God's blessing.
For
but
sure, timing,
you gotta
God's
wake up.
Is that?
God's timing. That's a fact.
That's why I want. That's why I'm glad I'm talking to you, because we don't know. We by the way, we all on God's timing.
Yes. That's a
all
big
of
fact.
Us are. But sometimes we get impatient with that.
I've been impatient many a time.
That's what I'm saying.
But wait, let me answer what you're saying. Like, I think I've always been a part of the change in hip hop and a part of the street and a part of the of where the game is always going, or ahead of the curve sometimes, because I'm an outside nigga. Like, I'm outside. Like,
I love that.
Rap, I wasn't the platinum rapper. All this jewelry and touring money wasn't coming from going platinum. That shit was coming from the block, nigga. Right. So I'm an outside dude, for real. Like, an actual street dude that's in the community,
for sure,
doing shit to be successful. Like, as a rapper, if you're not signed, you independent, if you don't have an investor behind you, a record deal, or a dope boy behind you, then nigga, you ain't gonna make it.
Yeah.
Cause this shit is expensive. So when you are the motherfucking dope boy, you outside, nigga, you funding your own career. So it's just recently that the music started generating the amount of income to actually push the artistry and push the machine.
You know what I'm saying?
So, but my whole career that y'all been seeing me do shit, we was outside, nigga. So we a part of the change because we probably making it happen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I always been outside with from the OGs to the young dudes. I'm a Jamaica Queens dude. We just been outside.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you did this new project, I noticed that you got features from Meth, Talib. I was just looking at it. You got features from Melissa B, Rich, Votto, Dre Island, Papoose, Freeway. That's the one I saw. I was like, ooh, he's smart.
All Spanish, right, by the way. All
but
of them.
All rappers who hip hop at some point in time might have said it's over for them. But you didn't. You went and got them. To me, that's intent. Like, I love when someone is intentional about their audience, right? It's like, nigga, I ain't trying to go do a record with this 18-year-old kid from my block while he's saying some shit that I can't relate to just because I want to get hot.
Nah, right.
I'm going to stay hot with my people. Was that intentional? Like, did you like, how'd you go into this album making it? Like, what was the thought process?
Those things are intentional. I gravitate to the artists that I feel are as authentic as me or offer as much to the culture as I desire to consume or care about. Like, if you care about the culture, where I'm tapped in. Somebody like Method Man, that's Wu-Tang. I'm like, I'm raised on that shit. So I saw Meth in a, at SOB's at a tribute to Sean Price, God bless him. And I performed, and he saw me perform, but at the same time, he was like, yo, your performance is incredible. I fuck with you. He was like, that shit was dope. And I'm like, is Meth talking to me, giving me props? Yeah. That shit blew me away.
Let me tell you, man, when you was in fucking middle school.
Like, my nigga, I was like, oh shit, Method Man giving me props. And niggas that was around him was like, yo, Meth was really feeling your performance. He watching the shit like, yo, that was crazy. So he told me, he was like, yo, your breath control was crazy. The balls was crazy. I said, whatever you need, like, I got you. I was like, say less, nigga. Whatever you need. I said, nigga, I got it right. I'm going to work on something right now. I got it right to him. I don't think I'll waste 5 minutes, nigga. I was like, I'm going to go record in the car. I'll be right back. Word, so. I got right to it. Yeah. And he heard the record. He was like, this shit is fire. He's like, give me a couple of days. I got you.
Yeah.
And he bodied that verse.
Crazy.
Bodied the verse. So that shit, those kind of accolades and those are like the things that are my greatest accomplishments. Yeah, having my peers that I look up to respond to me with the same type of energy. That shit is amazing.
Because you're a purist.
Yeah.
And my favorite artists are the purists. Mm. Because usually you meet artists that are chasers, right?
Facts.
And don't get me wrong, you can make a lot of money with chasers.
You will.
Chasers get tired. Chasers get tired of running, they get tired of trying, they get tired of everything. Like, they might have made $13 million and been like, man, I'm good.
Right.
I'm about to go start a candy shop. And it's like, you was a rapper. Nah, nigga, I was just doing what I gotta do to get the money.
Exactly.
You're a purist, bro. Mm-hmm. And I love spotlighting purists. You was also signed to Rockefeller.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the clip where you said, tell Nora you didn't get to
change.
How did you end up with Rockefeller? Like, what era was this?
This is right before Jay-Z and Dame broke up.
Oh, wow.
So I came right at the end.
So what side did you come in on?
Dame Dash brought me to the Rock. He brought me and Kanye to the Rock at the same time, as a matter of fact. And I didn't get the chain and do the big tours with them. That's what I was looking forward to. I'm like, this is fucking Rockefeller. Yeah, I can't wait to go on the road with them. But I did good. I went overseas with them. Yeah. I went to London.
Yeah.
I met all of them in London.
Yeah.
So that shit was mine. That was my first time in London. I seen Bleak, Young Guns, Beanie. I met Nori was over there a while, and it was crazy.
Yeah.
And that's when I first connected with them all together as a unit. But Dame did the deal. Dame brought me to, I already knew Jay, but we wasn't like close or nothing. But it was a dream come true for me. So when the shit broke up, I was like, ah, this sucks.
That's a fat boy.
So it broke up right before I got that chain. I was like, I needed that. As a matter of fact, I'm getting it now though. So shout out to that. Yeah, we're at the moment. Getting it now. Yeah, I need that. Just because, nigga, I need that. You know what I'm saying?
They gotta give you the chain.
Word, that's the homie.
They gotta give you the chain. So like, did you have like put out a record, or you just got signed and was working and then it what like how
does, I put out singles. I didn't get a whole project out then. I put out singles.
How does that work? In a split up, in a breakup for you at this moment, like, do you get the call like your Rockefeller splitting up? Do you want to go with Dame and Jay, or do you get the call like Rockefeller splitting up? We're going. You got to go home. Like, how does that happen?
We knew it was splitting up already because legally they tell you what's going on because they have to because it's the way the deal was structured. I forgot how that shit went back then, but I think the way the deal was structured was I think it was a clause in it saying if this deal falls apart, you sign directly to Def Jam. Something like that. And you have to decide. I think it was like a choice of where to go.
Yeah.
Because Kanye, even though Dame brought us both over there, Kanye chose to go with Jay. Yeah. I think we had an option. But I came up under Chaz Williams,
I would say
man.
Chaz Black, Williams, Black, rest in peace.
Black Hand, man. Yeah,
I'm gonna get to him next. I want to talk about that, but I want to let you finish.
I gotta mention that because he's the most solid human gangster in the world.
Being
raised by him since I was a youngin', I only think one way. You think very loyal, you think very militant. Like, he's like a Black Panther gangster, bank robber. Mm-hmm. Superhero of gangsters in the world. So, but he's based on such morals and principles that there's no option in my brain but to go make the loyal decision regardless of what it's gonna benefit me financially. I don't think about the finances first. It's just what's the right thing to do.
Exactly.
And we went with Dame because we was loyal. Plus, I love Dame, man. Dame is the dude.
But still love Dame.
As an artist, of course, if you go with Jay, it's gonna be like it's a layup. That's fucking Jay-Z. Yeah. So it's gonna be less work because that's Jay-Z.
Exactly.
But out of loyalty, it's like Dame is a nigga. Dame brought us here. It was only right to go with Dame. Mm-hmm. It was never thought in our mind to not go with Dame because that's how loyalty works. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
So that's how we did.
So it was kind of like a mom and dad divorcing.
Gotcha.
Dad over here, mom over here. Who you going to live with? Mom and dad. You just got to figure it out.
I'm going to go with the realest, most loyal man thing that I could do, which is staying true to the nigga that brought me in. But so when you first came out, Graph, you know, obviously we was youngins trying to come up. I was a youngin' in that. You know, a young artist is way more mature than a young executive, right? Because a young artist can get in the game at 15 and drop an album at 17. Ain't no executives getting in the game at 15, signing talent at 6. You know what I mean? So, you know, but I remember what's coming up, and I was in business at the time with D-Dot Angeletti, the mad rapper.
Oh, okay.
Real Brooklyn nigga, right? Mm-hmm. Shout out to D-Dot. And I was, I was always ear hustling, hearing people talk, but when your name would come up, it was very revered, right? Mm. It was almost like you were Batman, but you can't say Batman without saying Robin. So you couldn't say Graph without saying, but he's with Black Hand Chaz. Mm. Like, it was almost like, don't play with them.
Right.
Don't fuck with him. Don't try to get his publishing. Don't try to do none of the fuck shit that we do because he's surrounded by a real man. Mm. And I don't care if you're a gangster. I don't give a fuck if you are the president. I don't give a fuck what you are. Your character does, the most important thing is your character.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could be a gangster and be a piece of shit.
That's a fact.
Or you could be a gangster and be a good person that's like, yo, this is my only option. This is like, Jay Prince has a famous saying where it's like, that's how they gotta move, but this is how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you were surrounded by like a real man in a fake game. Like, obviously you, like, what year did he pass away?
2019 or 2020, right before the pandemic.
Okay, yeah, right before the pandemic. But
I was actually in Paris when he passed. I had to fly back early
because
I wasn't trying to miss the funeral. I heard about that shit like on the road. Like, damn.
So you was in business with someone like that. How do you move once you guys part and it's time for you to be your own man? Like, do you then say, I need someone to play the role of him, or do you then say, I'm gonna be him and be the leader? Cause you came in as you basically came in as a loyal soldier, right? And it's like, and by the way, to a great general, right? But like, at the moment that you and the general decide to split, do you want to be your own general, or do you look for generals? Cause it's like, I always say, when Dame and Jay split, Jay kept the Dame. He just kept Jay Brown and Tata. He made them a combination. OG Juan, he made them a combination of Dame without the shit that he might not have wanted to deal with from Dame. Mm. But you, like, how did you move forward in the industry? Did you say, I'm gonna do it myself? Did you try to find other people to do it with?
I decided to do it myself at that time. I took all the knowledge I learned from Chaz. Chaz is the most independent thinker. And even to this day, certain things I do, I'd be like, well, what Chaz doing in the situation? Because I'll give you an example of how Chaz think. I don't care what you ask that man. He can know his decision. He can know what he's gonna tell you. He's gonna be like, I'll get back to you.
Mm.
He gonna make you wait. I think about it. He know what he gonna say already, but he's just so calculated. Yes. He's just not gonna answer you right now. He'll be like, I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
And I used to watch that, like, I know you know what you're gonna say because I know, but he's still gonna make you wait. He's still gonna double check. He just so calculated. So I just learning that. I said, I'm gonna do it myself, and then I did it with my partner Max Wayne, who was like my brother. You know what I mean? And we just formed our own company, Team Bang Dope Gang, which I formed when I was at Black Gang.
Yeah.
That was already
Because you're supposed to. Like, by the way, he wants you to, like, I don't want you to be up underneath that, but you got to grow into your own man.
And the way, you got to understand how our relationship was. Me and Chaz was more like, it was less artist manager. It was more like father and son, the way that's relationship was. It wasn't like, so even like another, like, I got away with murder to other people like that. They were like, why you let Graph do that?
Yeah.
why the fuck Graph can do that, but we can't do that? Because me and him was like, It was not like artist managed. It was more like, cause my dad got murdered across the street from where I was living at when I was like 16. And after I lost my dad, it was just Chaz. You know what I'm saying? It was just, Chaz was the only.
Did your dad and Chaz know each other?
Kinda, you know what I'm saying? But same neighborhood, but just.
Like some Bronx Tale shit.
Kinda, yeah. So like my aunt's neighbor murdered my dad for some dumb shit. And I was across the street and had to deal with that. And my brain never processed it to this day.
Wow.
Like, I don't think I've really processed it. I'm trying to deal with therapy now.
Feels like
now.
A nightmare, right?
Feel like I saw it in the picture, like I never really seen it.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So it was like, I don't even know. It's like, I'd be like, I was there, what? Is that real? Whatever happened that week, I don't even remember it. My only recollection of what happened that week is whatever people tell me happened. My brain is like blocked the fuck out. I don't even know. But so it's just me and Chaz from that point, really. You know what I'm saying? So Chaz is more like the father figure for me rather than artist manager. Our relationship was never really artist manager. It was always like father son.
Yeah.
Just that I was way too stubborn to just say I love you like a dad. Yeah. I was like, he wasn't like more emotionally expressive either.
Yeah.
But we just we just knew. Even when we parted ways, right? It was more like when if you leave your dad's house or your parents' house and they feel you're leaving too early, it's like, oh, go do it on your own then.
Yeah, you'll learn.
It was more like that. Yeah. It wasn't like no salty feelings, but it was more like he didn't really want me to leave, but it was more like, all right, go figure it on your own if you want to figure it out on your own.
But did you ever like call him if you ever needed something like advice?
Nah, that wasn't an option. Not directly, directly. But through my other OG Prince, I would still get his advice because I always needed it.
I moved, so you knew if I went to his advice anyway. He gonna be like, let me think about it.
Yo, my whole brain is full of how Chaz moved. Yes. I don't know no other shit. All my influences are from Chaz.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying. Man. And it's funny because I feel like 50 Cent has a lot of the same qualities too, because he was influenced by Chaz. Before me, Chaz is managing him.
Oh, wow.
You see a lot of the way 50 move, I'll be like, oh, that's Chaz. Yep, that's Chaz. Like, it's just, you're going to learn certain shit dealing with that dude. He's just so advanced in certain, like.
I love that.
Like, he's the kind of person, he'll be like, prepare for war in times of peace. Like, he plan on you while y'all chilling. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
He's always watching.
He's so calculated, you know what I'm saying? But it's a lot of love in his heart, but he's super, he's like a walking chessboard.
Feel like Don Vito.
He's a real Godfather OG type
of dude. Like, don't ever tell the fam. Don't ever tell nobody what you're thinking outside the family. Like, we wait until it is.
Yeah, like, my influences from, that's why, like, even a lot of the gangster stories you hear, like, or seeing movies, these guys they write these stories about, these are Chaz's friends. This is his circle. Mm. I'm influenced by the niggas that y'all look up to and watch movies about.
You heard first,
these are his friends.
Stories.
Yeah, like, I know these people and listen to conversations. Young.
Yeah.
Like, remember when Denzel did a Training Day? I mean, not Training Day, American Gangster.
Of course.
Frank Lucas,
yeah.
That's all Chaz's circles. Frank Lucas, Nicky Barnes. These are all his friends and shit. Wow. This is not friends, but that's his terror. Yeah. So, as a matter of fact, Denzel wanted to do Chaz's story at one point, but I don't know where I don't know why he chose to go with that story instead of Chaz's story, but it's like, if he didn't do Frank Lucas, you would not know that name.
Yeah,
you would have knew Chaz Williams if he did that story. They all got these crazy gangster tales.
Yeah.
And I was just with one of the most incredible gangsters in history. You know what I'm saying? So the way I think is very militant. And also remember, Chaz was Mutulu Shakur's cousin.
Yes.
And that whole Black Panther
that's
spirit.
That's Shaka's uncle. So that's Shaka's uncle.
Yeah. I'm telling you about Mutulu too. I wanted to get that.
For sure.
But, that whole Black Panther militant shit combined with the gangster shit was just like an influence I had young, man. Mm. So I just watched them dudes and be like, even like when like another example, when 50 came out with the vests and the guns, niggas in the crew was rolling like that back then.
Yeah.
Broad day, vest, white t-shirt, Yankee hat, a hammer sticking out.
Mm.
So if you 50, you sitting in the studio watching this young, you gonna be influenced by it. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, this is shit you niggas are seeing young, like, the fuck?
Yeah.
That's not, no, you ain't gonna see just three or four niggas roll through white t-shirts, vests on, guns sticking. You see police doing that, not gangsters in the street, in the daytime, nigga.
In the daytime.
Yeah, this is the kind of shit we growing up seeing, like.
In New York City.
This Jamaica Queen shit different.
Right, I was about to ask you, were the gun laws different back then? Cause
no.
Nigga.
Hell no, nigga. But
the gun laws were the same and they were still?
Nigga.
Oh, these niggas is crazy.
That's what I'm, it's different around the way, bro. So you young seeing this shit like, wow, you gonna be influenced.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
that's crazy. I wanted to ask you something. And I'm only asking this as a fellow journeyman.
Mm.
And Rick, you too. How many times we see our peers? You run into them, you're like, man, what you doing now? Oh man, I'm working at Amazon record. You're like, oh, it's like, oh shit, you gave it up. You know, like, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Did you ever think about giving up on the journey? And how did you react to that? And second, what was the motivation that keeps you here, still thriving, still killing it, still touring, still dropping albums, still doing everything in a world where, shit, after like 26, 27 in rap, nigga, they tell you, it's over. All right, talk to you later, man. You know, what made you say, nah? Like, what was it that drove you, your why?
I guess there's a couple whys, but and I always feel like I would say why is the best question you could ever ask. Cause you can always ask why to any answer, and you keep asking why. But I was too determined. And the thing is, I love the, I would rap and make music for free.
Yes.
I'm passionate about it. I'm a true creative to the heart. Like when I wasn't doing music, I'm designing clothes, or I'm drawing on shit, or I'm painting on leather jackets. Like I'm a creative dude. Yeah. And this shit is like therapy for me, for real. Yeah. For real. I never had a therapist or the traditional psychiatric treatment in that way. So the music for me is medicine. Like, yeah. I have to create shit.
Yeah.
I think men are designed to create shit regardless, yes. But I have to create to exist on this planet, because yes. I'd be a fucking madman, serial killer if I didn't.
You
know what I'm saying?
Your head, you can't get
yeah,
out.
Yeah. I have to create shit. So that's yeah. one. Two, I always had a fan base and was always making money from rap. It was just never enough money from rap. Yeah. So, and then rap, to put yourself as an artist, is so fucking expensive. If you're an actual hustler, a street dude, and this is what advice I want to give any street nigga, you got to figure it out, because this shit is the most expensive bill you'll ever have. It will keep you hustling until you either make it or go to jail. So
yes.
either you got to start another business, get some Airbnbs, get a fucking laundromat, and make some investments, figure that shit out, because this shit will ruin you. If you don't know how to move in the street and trying to balance this hip hop shit with that shit and trying to fund your own career, nigga, you will trap yourself to death. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to give you some game. Because I really fuck with you. The key for you and MCs like yourself, and we featured a brother of yours on this show. He mentioned you, Benny the Butcher.
Oh, shout out to my nigga Benny.
He was on the show. Mm. And I kind of gave him the same information that I'm about to give you.
Mm.
You have to own the space and you have to brand it. Like that's what Graf needs to do, right? So let me say what I mean, right? So like you have your music career, right? So say if your music career is bringing you, and when I mean music career, I mean strictly speaking about you making records, right?
Okay.
Your music career brings you in this much, right? Mm. Okay, cool. But what can you stack on top of it that also represents the same thing, right? So you're known for bars, right? Like, why don't you have a Graf, you know, like bars, like bars from Queens, like Queens bars, Brooklyn bars, right? And you go into different places and you highlight and spotlight rappers, right? Like vertical integration, right? Now, it might feel like it's nothing, but, and I think the idea I gave Benny was, I said, every city you go into, you should go to the barber shop, like take something with a barber, right? And then say, I'm gonna go to this barber shop in this city, and I'm gonna meet, so I want all of the rappers in that city to pull up, right? Right, if you ain't spitting, do not meet me at this barber shop at Harlem at 1 p.m., right? So now what happens is you capture, it's a barber shop. All you need is 70 rappers out trying to get in, 70 rappers in, 20, 30, 100 people show up, 30 rappers inside, 70 rappers trying to get in, and you capture the pandemonium of like this. Everybody trying to get in. Now it's like, why is everybody trying to get in? Who's everybody for? Who they for? A guy named Graf. Graf is doing this thing. So now, obviously, you have your career, but now you just stacked another box on top of the box, right? So now, niggas is like, when are you doing that, right? Now
and to go along with your brand, I hear you.
Integration. So now what happens is now you turn that into a business. So now you're like, all right, cool. I do this Graf with bars and barbershop and rappers across the city. And it might be Bar Olympics. We might do the Bar Olympics, where it's like, we're going to do the Bar Olympics of Queens.
Well, look, if Benny ain't taking, I'm out of jacking with this idea, Benny. You might have to be dead on that one.
No, I'm giving this to you.
Oh, that's fresh one.
Oh, okay. Because all it is, it's like watching TV shows and movies. Like, we're watching it, the settings are always different, but the premise is the same.
It's a character
who's going through something, and at the end of the movie, we see that character prevail, right? That's what movies are, right?
Right.
So it's the same concept, but like it could be the Bar Olympics presented by Graf, right? Number one, you put it on your YouTube channel, right? So now your YouTube channel is not just for Graf and him to say, here's my music video. Now your YouTube channel has other things that I can engage in. It has nothing to do with your music per se, but everything to do with your brand.
Right.
So now I'm seeing, so now you're like, go to my YouTube and watch this and tell me who's the best, right? And guess what? Next, every city, I might pick a person that I put on my album. I might pick a person, but by the way, Graf, we still about the music right here. That ain't changing.
Right.
Now I'm just talking about another box, right? So now you're known for like the Bar Olympics, right? So now niggas like Atlanta, the Bar Olympics is coming to Atlanta. Graf is coming, nigga. Bro, let me tell you who the person that I tell everybody to learn for. And I'm saying this with the utmost respect. Nick Cannon. Nick Cannon,
no question,
is
now he's an ill nigga.
He's an ill nigga because, and I say this respectfully, he's not really at the. What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Coach Referee. And I want to ask you, are you ever frustrated with uploading a video to YouTube and you get no views? I know I was when I first started. If you're a music artist and you have your own podcast or your content creator, look no further. WAM Promotions has gotten you covered. They specialize in high-end targeted YouTube campaigns that deliver real views, real subscribers, and most importantly, real growth. So if you're struggling with real organic YouTube growth, I'm here to tell you to go on WAM Promotions and use the promo code GODS and receive 20% when you check out. Tell them Ray sent you, you got 20% off. Let's go, guys. I'm looking to see you guys on the charts. Let's go. The top of anything that he's in as talent. Mm. Like, Nick Cannon has never been considered one of the greatest comedians ever. He's never been considered one of the greatest actors ever, one of the greatest rappers ever. But
he's in all of it.
He's in all of it. And not only is he in all of it, everybody who's at the top has to sit under him. Because he branded something and he branded himself. He created, he's like, here's my career as an actor in this, but watch me throw this big ass box on it, now I got wildin' out. So he's the inverse of most people. Mm-hmm. Like Jay-Z probably makes, now he's probably making money is crazy, but I'm pretty sure Jay-Z, when Rockefeller and that early Rock Nation years, Jay-Z makes way more money than Rock Nation makes Jay-Z.
No, I get you.
He makes more money. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But
I get it.
I think he's the inverse. So Bar Olympics. So now, and guess what, nigga? You can start in Queens. You can just put on Instagram, I'm looking for the best rappers in Queens. Go to a hot spot in Jamaica, Queens. Or go to one of your homies.
I like the barbershop idea. Keep it a buck.
No, that's what I'm saying. Even if it's that, like, dog,
I do like the barbershop idea.
It's 50 motherfucking people on YouTube who have millions of users every day. On a Pop the Balloon show. It's 50 motherfuckers doing it.
Right.
It's not like one person made it up, but it's not like you can just own it, right?
Right.
Now you're in there, so now you have 100 niggas showing up to the barbershop, capture everything. Mm. Now, like, as you see niggas trying to get in, man, I'm making fun. And it's like, they're all trying to get to you. Which changes the perception of the viewer. Mm. So now the viewer sees you as like, he gotta be a big fucking deal. Cause look at all these people trying to get to him to show them what he could do, but they're not there for you. Mm. They're there for the Bar Olympics that you own.
Right.
You see what I'm trying to say? You do like a battle, like 16, 32 bars, right? Or like something like that. Now, who got the best 32? Go, let the crowd react. Everybody, oh shit, you in the middle of the whole shit.
Right.
Now you just made yourself the jury and the judge of this shit, rather than making yourself someone who's hoping the jury and judge see you.
Right.
Now you just got another box on top of you.
Right? I love it.
And then you put another box on top of that and you add something else to it. Vertical integration. Mm-hmm. Right? It's all just one on top of the other. Right? You're known for something. And I use Nick Cannon as an example because the way we thought it had to be, we thought you had to get to the top of your food chain to own your food chain. Mm-hmm. But you don't. You just gotta be organized and have a great idea / brand within your mm-hmm. food chain. Mm-hmm. And now you've just created a whole new meal for niggas to eat on from your plate. That's yours.
That's crazy. I'm gonna take that jewel, yeah.
Nigga, that's why I like Artist Spotlight though, because I'm listening to you and I'm like, I'm a label exec by heart, so I'm always listening, and I'm a manager, so I'm always listening. Like, we think about the game wrong. Mm-hmm. We think about the game like, I wanna treat you like an influencer.
Right.
I hate to say the word influencer.
But it's facts, though, because somebody else told me that, too. Like, I met a dude, homie, that passed. Man, God bless my nigga, Donovan, who just passed. He said the same thing. He was looking at my career and said, you could be marketed like an influencer.
Yes. You have to.
And that's how he was breaking shit down, so.
Because influencers say, here is me, right? Oh, nigga, I like telling jokes, so I'm going to play pranks on my mom, right?
Right.
I like telling jokes, so. Jordy, adjust his mic while we filming. It's all good. Like an influencer would want to
pull it right here.
You got it?
Yeah, I got
okay,
it.
Okay, cool. He got it. Hey, listen,
I do it all.
Do it all. But so for me,
yeah.
Instead of, because rappers, you're marketing your bars.
Right.
Nah, nigga. You're marketing you.
You.
I just so happen to be a rapper.
Right.
I just so happen, by the way, because I'm a rapper and you know me, I want to give other rappers a chance because I like bars and I want to put a highlight on shit that's important to me. But guess what you're also doing? You're making it important. You're making it significant. You're making it essential. Right. You're literally making yourself and what you do essential by showing the world how many people want to do it, care about doing it, are into it, while at the same time gamifying it and turning it into something that becomes entertaining, bro, it's...
Nah, it's amazing. I'm fucking with it. I'm fucking with it.
Yeah.
I'm fucking with it.
Yeah.
Like, that's a box. The way you broke it down is like, I see it clear.
Cause now it's like, nigga, we might come to your show and you headline, but nigga, the first part of the show might be nigga, the Olympics.
Yeah, facts.
So now we coming to hear niggas battle each other and then and boo noo boo. And then after that, you gonna perform and it's like it all just went together.
Yeah, yeah.
And that if artists looked at it, that's why I wanted to talk to you. That's why I wanted to do this, because it always comes to us like during the show. It's like, man, that works. So as I'm listening to you, because when you hear the purists come out, it's like, oh, you a purist. You nigga, you good. Nigga, you just need to be the purest person. And you have to just be the leader who's like, I just want to focus on this. But the key is going to be what you brand it.
Right.
If you don't brand it your name.
Right, not facts. But
separate
yeah.
your name from it. It's an entirely different box.
It's kind of like what I did with the clothing line.
Yes,
when I started clothes,
exactly.
It was Dope NYC, and I totally separated myself from the.
Yes.
Or tried to separate myself from the brand.
But
like
you,
I would just wear it along with Gucci, Fendi, yeah. other shit, and just mix it in. I would never wear it and be like, this is my brand.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't want it to be attached to me.
Yes.
And that shit lived on its own and did well.
Yes.
The brand does well. I see niggas wearing it that bought it on. I had a deal with Karma Loop years ago, and that shit was selling all over the world. Niggas
yeah.
wearing it, walking past me, have no idea. I got nothing to do with it. Word. That shit existed on its own.
That's more influencer than just artists.
And by the way,
it's everything.
Yeah.
By the way, fashion is everything.
Mm-hmm. And what did I talk about? Your freshness.
Yes.
So all of those things, like, it's like, I think that right now we're in a great place where there's cameras everywhere, and all you need is just one or two good young catchers and editors and a voice. And do it. I'm telling you, nigga.
Right.
Do it, nigga. I'm telling you. You have the whole, nigga. You
nah,
just
I'm fucking with it.
Barbershop, nigga. 300 niggas outside. Like, I'm trying to rap for this nigga grass.
It will be like that, too. Word.
That's what I'm
like,
saying.
It will be.
And then,
I see it
clear here's what you do. Go find, this is how you turn into a business. Go find a sponsor, maybe listener. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, go find a sponsor, right? Who will say, yo, we'll give you 5K. So now you got 5K cash today. So now Graf and Listener presents Bar Olympics, and we're gonna get $5,000 to this Sunday for the nigga in Queens with the illest bars. But here's how you make it even more fun. Nigga, you gotta have gotta have Queens on your ID. You see what I'm trying to say? So
yeah.
Now niggas are like, I live in Queens, but Brooklyn, nigga be bringing they light bill and shit. Nigga, things are things that show the audience.
Right.
This nigga, why he going through all of this?
Right.
Because Graf create opportunity for niggas like him to get some money.
Nah, I dig it.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I dig it. I dig it.
You got to create shit bigger than us. Like, there was a point in time in our culture where you had to spread.
Right.
But it's too many people now. So now when you try to go over here, nigga, it's laying this block over here. You kind of
I'm into it.
So put a box on top. Just stand. Don't spread. Stand taller.
Right.
Stand taller.
Well, I could talk about one box that I put on top. I created a course called Music Therapy that I implement into the school systems in New York City. So we're in like 9 or 10 schools right now. Where I actually come into the schools with the laptop, with the speakers, the microphone, and really teach kids how to create music, shoot videos, and express themselves. But the way we do it is from like an emotional standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Like I come in here teaching you how to express yourselves, making music, of course, song structure, making the songs you want to make, but really talking about what you're feeling.
Yeah.
You know, especially in New York City,
sure.
The drill music is prominent amongst this
kids.
Generation now. And most of the drill music is just ops spinning the block and all that shit. So the first rule I say in my class is, look, in this course, all ops live. Ain't trying to hear that shit. Did you kill an op today?
That.
No. What'd you do today? You feeling some other shit today? Because no op died.
Yep.
Since before I got here this morning, all you had was lunch.
Yep.
All ops are alive, right?
Yep.
Like, yeah, I bet. We're going to talk about something else. I'm like, I want to hear some pain, man. What you going through?
Yeah.
Because these niggas be thinking about you here, childhood trauma. It happens when you're a child. These niggas are going through real shit.
Yeah.
So I come into class and really bond with these kids and get them to really express what they feeling, what they going through. You know what I mean?
Love that.
So the music, for me, is therapy. So I call the course Music Therapy. And we ain't like, man, school. Any principals watching, get at me.
But,
I love to come to your school and really influence the kids in this positive way.
But what I will also tell you to do is turn that into a course.
Mm-hmm. It's a course.
Like on paper?
Yeah.
Sell it.
Or like the visuals of it.
No.
Sell
it. Sell
the actual course.
Actual
your
course.
Process
right.
Of how you... How do you work with the kids and bring it down?
Yeah, we're working on that. Yeah, yeah. We're trying to find out how to sell it, whether we sell it to the actual school or to students.
Make it available to everybody that follows you for now. Like, it can be something as simple as...
It's a whole curriculum. Like, written out by my man, Careers. He's an educator out of Baltimore.
So, 15, 20 years. So, what I would do is I would take that. I would go to Hot 97 Power. I would do a radio run and talk about how I'm a rapper. Like you said, another box, drop records, been with street niggas, been all of this. But I know that these kids are being influenced. So I created therapy because I probably would be here if it wasn't for someone who snatched me up and said this. So now there's the why, right? Now it's like, just go to graphmusictherapy.com, something like that, and download it. It could be, you could leave it for free. It could be $10. It could be this, but it's literally like selling albums.
Right.
That's an album of yours. That's no different than the album. You see what I'm trying to say? You just, like you said, because you give it away for free. By the way, commend you for that.
Right.
If I was you, that's what I would do. I would make it available to students.
Right.
But you gotta upload a picture of your student ID or upload a student email. Something that gives you data back.
Right.
That now you have this. Because I'm not trying to get deep, but we don't even get this deep on this show. But to be honest with you, gathering the data, now you have data of, you have thousands and thousands of emails of young kids who look to you. So now you can talk to them like, I'm coming to do this, or you literally can create, like, we literally at this very moment are putting together a tour for you. A headliner tour for you that has nothing to do with
music.
Music, but nothing to do with someone headlining over you, taking you. Right. Now, Graf's the headliner. Oh, yeah, who else is going to be there? The Bar Olympics. Who else is going to be there? Oh, they're doing music therapy. So it's like, I'm coming to a city in the daytime. It's a workshop for the kids. Just bring the kids out. I want to do that. All right, cool. Now when I leave here, I'm there at 12 p.m. When I leave there, 6 p.m., everybody know.
Bar Olympics,
nigga, at this barbershop.
That's crazy.
Cool. Tonight, the show. Whoever wins tonight, we're going to go. Matter of fact, top five, the top 10 out of the 300 niggas here, we going to have them. Y'all better bring all y'all people because the audience going to decide. So now niggas is telling niggas bringing 500 tickets. Niggas is like, yo, I need 300. Cause y'all better. So now they are bringing the audience to you and then you still get at the end to perform and it's all yours.
Right.
You know, so you got the Bar Olympics. So now you got content. You're selling the course and now you perform it. And now literally you're doing this in every city and it's nothing. It's music involved, but it's Graph, boom, boom. And now you standing taller than anybody. And now it's bigger than just a song you made with Method Man.
Yeah.
That's the bonus. It's you we here for.
Right.
It's whatever you say we here for because you've shown us that you care. And you've shown us that you want to help niggas like you get money because you found a sponsor that came.
Which I do.
That's my point. So now, who's the superhero for that world? You are.
Right.
So now, it's big. It's like when you think about business and rap and the businessman in rap, you think, Jay.
Y'all gonna have to play this clip back when y'all see me do this shit.
Nah, for sure. This clip is the intro to how you came up with it and how you're doing it, but it's also showing you how to add another vertical to your business that has nothing to do with, that can exist on its own. Nigga, you can go into cities and do the Bar Olympics and you never have to perform. You might be like, I'm tired, I don't want to perform.
Most likely I'm not. I'm going to let niggas just shine. Yeah. All my rap with them just on some bonus shit. But
or like that might be what we do at the studio tonight. Yeah. We're going to make a record tonight at the studio.
Yeah,
like,
might do that.
Put that shit out.
Because you're going to find some hot niggas to actually link with.
By the way, I'm pretty sure that we do that. I can get Too Lost to sponsor the music and the marketing for the music and putting the record out.
Dope.
We create businesses while we sitting here, like, and it's small shit. Like they provide the distribution, the playlist, and the shit that niggas care about, they provide it. Now they getting some exposure. You own it, everybody wins.
Facts.
And you making more money and you don't have to hustle. That's what I mean. That's why I think the way I'm doing this because with our natural inclinations to go what we know. That's because someone's not telling us other things that we don't know that are like related to us. Like, you're like, damn, I could do that, nigga.
Right.
I could do that tomorrow in Queens, nigga. Just put on Instagram.
Like, you know what's crazy? Or like on a simplified version of that. I mean,
for sure.
Back to the music part of it. When I was all the way in the street doing XYZ to just fuel my career and everything else, the first nigga that told me it was possible to be in this hip hop lane and make the same amount of money that I'm making in the street that I can make off music was 38 Special. That's why I fuck with the nigga. So I mean, a good nigga, but and my nigga Influence, shout out to them too. They both was like, yo, if you put the same amount of time into rap in this lane that you're already in, rather than, because think about it, when you're from New York, right? And you're from my era, you're thinking about, in order to make any music, I had a hit record, mm-hmm. I had a record on radio, record in a club, or I'm not gonna get booked and be on tour. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not really the fucking case. Mm-hmm. When you really have bars and you can spit, you're in this lane that I'm already in, where there's already an ecosystem here that I didn't understand the ecosystem in the underground or lyrical lane. Mm-hmm. Niggas is buying, they buying tickets, they buying merch, they buying vinyl. Yeah. Like the record deals are structured different here.
Yeah.
80-20 splits, 90-10 if you get right the distribution. Like you're making all your bag here. But it's like when you have the old school mentality of hits and radio and all this old shit, it's obsolete when you think about this lane.
Yeah.
So when they actually told me, yo, you could really make the same amount of bread you making in the street with the music, I was like, how? And I didn't understand until they broke it down. I was like, oh shit. And then the first project I put out with that mindset was Oracle 3. And that shit took off.
Yeah.
Just the existence of a Griselda period made fans.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Want to hear bars again. Mm-hmm. It made underground, or I don't even want to say underground, I said it's kind of mainstream now. It made lyrical rap relevant again to the point where it's making fucking money. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Because I've always been lyrical, but was I making the money from it? Nah.
Yes.
Their existence allowed all my old catalog and my new shit to go skyrocket. So mm-hmm. I appreciate everything them niggas did. Word to mother. They took it and made it mainstream. Like I remember the first time I think Rihanna met Conway. And she was like, I'm mad. He was like, why? She was like, because I've been hip to y'all. And everybody's like, I think it's hip to y'all now. Mm. So it was like, it became cool to be down with culture and shit. So them niggas kind of helped this culture shit become cool again.
Yeah.
And now that, because it's cool, it's financially beneficial.
Yeah.
So once I started really dumping all my energy into this shit, into the music, the way I was playing outside, that shit started working out financially and for the fans, and the music was getting better because now my focus is in the studio.
Yes.
It was life-changing for me. You know what I'm trying to say? So, like, I've been hustling since I was 15.
Yeah.
I'm, like, 100% out the street now. Mm. Give it up for that. Like, that shit for me is one of my greatest accomplishments ever.
I love that.
I never thought I would have a life outside of just independent of being outside. I didn't see it for me. I'm like, how? In my brain, I'm like, to be a rapper costs thousands of dollars a month. House, kids. I got twins and fucking Howard now, nigga. Like,
oh, wow.
Both of them. Real. Like, I'm paying for that though. Yeah. That shit ain't all just loans and financial aid. Like, that shit out of my pocket.
Yeah.
So my brain, I'm like, out the street, how, nigga? Yeah. What? You got a magic wand, nigga? What the fuck are you talking about? But really, like, the knowledge that I learned in these situations really allowed me to level up. And that's why I respect certain guys in this business. Niggas like Special because a nigga will see you doing it the wrong way forever and never try to empower you at all. A nigga would rather pay you to keep you stupid. A nigga will not feed you the information.
That's how he eat. That's
right.
He eat. Exactly.
Right. A nigga would rather give you money to keep you uninformed rather than give you the information that will allow you to drink water forever on your own.
Mm.
So when you meet certain niggas that's willing to help you advance with information, that's true power, man. Yeah. That's real friendship.
That's
real love. Yeah.
I'm teaching you how to fish, man.
Facts. Yes. Not giving you fish.
Yes.
Because some niggas go, nah, I'm gonna keep giving you this fish.
Fish,
and it looks like a blessing. You're like, oh, he gave me up. Nah, nigga, show me how to get it.
Yeah.
That's the blessing.
Yeah, I wanna learn. I wanna fish.
Yeah, I don't need that. Yeah, show me how to get it. So once a nigga show you how to fish for real, instead of watching you and keep, here, take this fish. I got some more fish for you.
Yeah.
Nah, that's real love. So that's where I'm at now. Like, so when you say something like the bar limits, where I could extend this information and put it into other people and allow them to get shine, I'm with that. Yeah, I'm making a bag still? Because I'm a hustler, I'm going to make a bag anyway. Sure, baby. I know where I come from.
For sure.
So no matter what realm I'm stepping into, money going to come with it. That's why I tell niggas, don't chase money. Just chase your purpose. Because the money going to come. If you know how to get the money going to come. Nigga. Yeah. It grows on trees.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Does. It's going to come. Don't chase the money. Chase the idea. Chase the passion. If you're not passionate about it, nigga, leave.
So this album drops. How do you promote it in 2024? How do you? You've been in this 20 years. I just want to really understand what your mentality going into promoting this album?
Two ways. I mean, one is content, which is why I put out an album called Stop Calling Art Content, because I don't believe that art and content is the same thing. I'm going to make art. We can make content out of that.
For sure.
Some niggas just make content to stay relevant. I don't give a fuck about that. I can't. Is it dope? Is it cool? If it ain't, I'm off that. So I make content that I feel is dope that applies to my brand. Shit that I want to stand behind. I don't make content for the sake of content or the sake of just trying to be relevant. I don't give a fuck about that. Like, I don't chase the numbers, none of that. I never chase the numbers. And that's probably why maybe now I'm getting more views and getting more numbers and getting more subscribers and fans, because I didn't chase that shit.
You're just building your purpose.
I'm like walking in my purpose and doing what's true to me. And if you identify with that, cool. So we made a shitload of more content than normal. Then I went on tour with Joyner Lucas. It was a blessing, man. Crazy. Shout out to Joyner. That's a good nigga right there. That tour was amazing. That was the biggest tour I've been on. Before those tours, I toured with Benny the Butcher twice. I did one domestic tour. I did one overseas. I toured with Royce of 5'9 before. Like, I went on a couple of tours that were amazing as well. Yeah. But touring with Joyner, I learned a whole lot more. It's a different fan base, different approach to performing, to engaging. And I just learned so much more how to connect.
If you can give me three things you learned from the tour, like, that stuck with you, could you?
One is, because I'm so used to performing for, I guess, the more street crowd, when you perform for a more worldly crowd, you feel more like Superman on stage. Like, you could do no wrong. I feel like I could do no wrong on any stage. Sure. I've been performing in prisons all over the place, but I love to perform. But it's like, for some reason, with that particular crowd, I felt like I connected with them so crazy. Any instruction I'm giving you, we wilding out. It's like we won. It's like when I'm saying, y'all are my family right now. I'm dead ass serious. And they feel the energy.
For sure.
And it felt like that. So my performance got better on that tour. You know, that's one. Then watching Joyner, how he put together his set, his thought process, how he approaches, connected with the crowd. I took all them jewels from him. I'm like, oh, wow, okay, I never really peeped that. Oh, shit, he doing that? Oh, you bought your own lights. You own all of this shit. You own your whole setup. He has two fucking 18-wheeler tractor trailers bringing his set to every tour. Yeah. I'm sure that's a common thing, but I've never seen it.
Yes.
So me seeing it firsthand from him, I'm like, oh, that's how you did it. Oh, where did you buy those lights from? Where did you buy those sparklers from? I'm going to buy my own. Yeah. Like, I'm thinking that the venue might have had them or you rented them. No, I own these pieces.
Yeah.
I'm like, facts.
Yeah.
So I'm picking up all of these jewels as I go along on this tour. You know what I mean? So, and then how to put a tour together. It was the third thing. I'm meeting the people that put these big tours together. And they're informing me of how the business goes. I'm like, wow, that's how it actually goes. Okay, cool. So nothing but jewels I learned on this tour.
Yeah.
And made a shitload of fans.
Exactly.
My fan base increased by probably 10 fucking thousand.
Wow.
I connected with humans.
Yes.
Who was like, Graft, your show was crazy. I just downloaded three albums right now. Before we left the club. I'm like, nigga, this was suck.
See what I'm trying to say? They find different and unique ways to discover you.
Yeah.
And they become fans. And now your job is to keep them there.
Right.
And give them other reasons to fuck with you, not just that. Because that is, everybody's doing that.
Right.
But like, nobody's done what you're doing with being here, legendary status for your community, real street nigga, real nigga. Like, that's the heroes that we want to get around. Like,
right.
That's what, like, so it's like so many ways to tap in. So I want to get into the artist thing. You just dropped an album, but you also said that you're going to be working on other things that are probably in different wheelhouses. What are those? What, if you don't want to reveal what those things are, what is the idea? Like, what is the hustler in you, the businessman in you saying, I need to do this because I want to figure out what?
Well, one of the main focuses I have right now is my music therapy program.
Gotcha.
That I'm still scaling it up. This is my third year doing it, and it's the biggest year I've done it so far. And I've been in like 9 or 10 schools. When I started, it was like 2 or 3 schools.
Yeah.
And it's growing way bigger than I even imagined it when I started it. now we're in schools building studios in some of these schools. Mm. We're doing the school merch and giving them more swag and actually provided doing the merch. Like, and we're reaching kids and affecting them in such a positive way that I'm like, I feel like this is a huge part of my purpose.
Yeah.
Yes. Like so many kids that, I mean, really affecting them in positive ways. And I'm watching them grow up. Because if I'm with you at 11, 12 years old, and I'm coming to the school for the next 2-3 years, I'm watching you grow into a young man, into a young woman, and I'm helping mold, shape the minds of the future leaders of the world. I'm very proud of what the work we're doing. Like one of the kids, I mean, in one of the songs, right? He didn't even want to rap at first. And when I bonded with him, told him what the music would mean, therapy for him, he started tapping into what he was feeling and saying some real shit in these records. Yeah. And one of the hooks, he said, I don't remember how he phrased it, but melodically he sung that the dad left the mom and the stepdad is abusing him.
Mm.
He says that in a song some kind of way. And then when the music gets that deep, I just bring it to the principal. Like, you might want to check this out because I don't know where to go. I'm not an actual therapist. Yeah, I don't know where to go from here.
Right.
But like the truth comes out in the arts. These kids are really confessing their real feelings and they're saying things they never said out loud in conversation. Because that's what just art does. It brings out your truth.
That's crazy, bro.
Another kid I connected with, because I seen him, he was like kind of shy, standing off in the corner. And I know that standoffish shit, I know it because I was kind of like that. If I'm in a certain mood or I'm feeling away and I can't communicate. We don't know how to communicate our emotions. We don't know how to express anger and shit. We don't learn how to express feelings.
We do, but we don't know how to say this is how I
facts.
Feel.
Yeah. So when I seen him, I knew he was going through shit. So I sat and bonded with son. I'm like, he ain't want to write. So I'm just like, you ain't got to really write and rap. I said, just write down your thoughts. Or just, even if they don't rhyme, I'm going to help you make them rhyme. Just write them down. And I see he was still kind of, he was not like into it. So now I'm breaking it down and I'm like, look, music is therapy for me. When I was around your age, I saw my, across the street from me, I saw my dad get murdered. I didn't really know how to communicate that. So a lot of times the music helped for me. So when I said that, he looked up. He's like, really? He's like, how old were you when that happened? I was probably like 15, 16. He was like, wow, that happened to me too. I was like, when? He was like, last week.
Get the
fuck.
Like
his father got murdered in front of his house like last week. He's 12 years old.
And he was holding it. He never said it.
Dealing with this shit. He's showing me pictures and all of that. She's like, he left me this dog, so all I got is a dog now. Just happened to him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, wow. I bond with Shorty like he's my son. Like I feel when he walk by, I feel his energy. I'm like, you know what I mean? So he didn't want to rap, but he rapping now.
Yeah, he's
just talking and getting it out. You know what I mean? Another one of my courses. A young girl, she had just lost her dad, you know what I mean? And so when we came in there with the course and she performed on the record, because she wasn't rapping much, you know, they just wanted to tap in and do music, get their feelings out. She was venting so hard by it. She was talking to her dad on the song, crying, talking to him on the song. I said, just talk, give me poetry, just go ahead, let it all out. And she was like, this course is so important. I never thought I would be able to express this shit. You know what I'm saying?
I'd like to connect you with some people in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Get them in schools down
absolutely.
There.
It's important, bro.
This is the first time I think I ever shed a tear on this show. Like hearing that story about that little 12-year-old kid, that shit. That's how I felt.
Like I was like, fighting tears.
These kids, see what we don't understand as adults, what we forget as adults, I'm not going to say don't understand, is that kids are dealing with the same shit that we dealt with. And we're dealing with today.
And we, like yeah, but right what now, happened to us then, and we're dealing with it now.
It's happening to them right
yes.
now.
Yes. That's what I'm in the middle of right now.
It's getting to the mental health space and having a real strong impact, lasting impact on these youth because they don't have to go through the same things. They have places and programs like that. Like, that's big, man.
Yeah,
like,
man. Like,
that's really big, man.
It's important.
That's crazy, bro.
It's important, bro.
Because these kids are fighting, because these kids in 10 years will be the future, and either they could be criminals out here killing, or they could be out here making changes. But
if we take
actions today is what determines.
I swear to God.
Bro.
If we save them now, they don't got to worry about all this jail shit and all the wrong things that they could possibly do because of misdirection.
Yes, because of misunderstanding. Like,
and let me say this too, not to cut you off.
No, for sure.
You know how many teachers are gonna turn their back on some of these kids?
That's right.
Because they seem thugged out or not. They don't seem like they're paying attention. Nigga, they going through shit.
Yeah.
How you expect him to learn when he not mentally well right now? He ain't thinking about 2 + 2 adding shit. He's trying to eat food later. You know what I'm saying? Like,
about poverty is
it's crazy.
It's poverty is not a lifestyle. It is a mentality.
Facts.
Yes. These kids are hearing like, you better be in this house because I got to get my fucking check. And they hearing like shit like that. And it's fucking their heads up. It's devaluing them. It's making them feel like I have no meaning or value to the world. No one cares about me. And it's only a few people that have the heart
right.
to like say, I'm not going to be the victim.
Right.
You got to be conscious to say that. So, like, bro, that, fuck the music, fuck the Olympics.
That's paramount right there. Yes.
That's right. What's going to have you win the Pulitzer Prize. That's what's going to have you be a household name. That's what's going to make you bigger than any rap song can make, because you're doing God's work.
Right.
And you're a street nigga doing it, which is even better.
They relate to me because they know I come from it.
They know you come from it. That's what I'm saying. Like, as soon as that kid heard my father die,
he was like, really? And he was so interested. Now he into it.
Now he's like, somebody went through what I went through.
Somebody can relate to me.
Alone in what I went through.
Right. He felt super alone.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, you're not alone.
And anybody out here alone, that's why, and to me, that's why, even with the bars, with the musical therapy, with the music therapy, with everything you're doing, that's why it's so important, because it's community work. It's saying,
right,
I know you want to do this, so here's an opportunity to do this, but I'm going to show you guys the right way to do this.
Right. Bruh. Or the best way. I don't even say the right way. That's the best way I know.
Yeah.
If there's a better way, it might be. Yeah. I'm teaching you the best way that I figured it out.
That's all we can ask for.
Though. Yeah.
Like you said to Chaz, like Chaz was being the best mentor he could be, but you also knew, like, he never said you loved him, but you knew he loved you.
Right, facts.
See what I'm trying to say? So he's being the best.
I hope he knew I loved him, too. I hope he knew, because I never said it. I'm fucking stubborn, so I hope he knew. That's why I say it in these interviews and get it off how I can, because I did love him. I never said him. I never said it. He's like a dad. We never expressed emotion like that, because it's just, that's not how he was raised to do it.
That wasn't the time, yeah.
So I'm like, damn. So when he left the earth, before I could say those things, I was like, I got to live with the fact that I never said these things to him, or live with the fact that he passed with some of the wrong ideas about certain things. Yeah. We never like squash certain differences. Like, some niggas thought we had beef. Like, beef? How you have beef with Chaz, man? Yeah. Live in New York City. Not happening.
Yeah,
it was far from beef. It was like petty little misunderstandings, music related.
Yeah, for sure.
Dumb little shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that we never cleared up. And that shit always bothered me. Mm-hmm. I gotta live with that. So when I see certain niggas that be like mad, like certain niggas from around the way or in the crew that's mad about how they felt me, his relationship going, I don't even fuck what they feel. Because I gotta live with the fact that he left the earth not knowing the truth. Yeah, we didn't bond like that. And we just didn't bond or get over certain shit because I was stubborn.
Yeah.
And my man, like, there was one time my homie, my nigga Jude Dude was on the phone with me and Chaz on the other line. And he like, why don't y'all niggas just talk? I just merged the call right now. We both be stubborn. Nah, I'm good. Chaz like, nah, I'm good. He was like, nigga, y'all both the same.
Yes.
He's like, I could just press merge right now.
Yes.
I'm like, nah, I tell him I call him back. I call him back. Yeah, we're doing the same shit. Yeah. No, we want to talk to each other.
Yeah.
We just both doing the same
shit. Because y'all don't want to stop y'all moment to face. It's like, that's a man thing. It's like, I got work to do today.
Right. And we know that the conversation, no matter what, however it starts, it's going to end up being emotional.
Yes.
And no niggas don't want to deal with the emotional part of it. You go, nah, I'm good. I'm good. Nah, I'll call him later.
Yeah.
Acting tough about the shit. It's like, nigga, I regret that. He told me, he said, Grav, you're going to regret this moment.
Yeah.
He said it.
Yes.
And I do. He said, you're going to regret this, man. Just fucking talk. It was like, nah, I'm going to call him back. I'm going to call him back. He on the other line, nigga. Yeah. One button.
Merge. Ever been this?
Done.
Yeah.
We both playing stubborn.
Yeah.
A nigga. He passed away. I'm like, I was in Paris when he passed away. I had to fly back early and say, fuck everything that was going on. I went to that funeral.
But you know what?
I was like,
you know what I tell everybody? Kill me. You just kind of prove the point that I tell everybody. Mm. I say to anybody, I'm saying this now, if you have beef with anybody in this world, and if they die, you're going to go to their funeral to pay respects, squash the beef right now.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not saying be friends. I'm not saying
but like love if you would go to the funeral.
If you would go to the funeral to pay respects, then that means that you still have a love for that person.
Right.
Look, man, we ain't gotta be the best of friends. We gotta be cool, but just know.
Squash it. That's some real shit. Dead ass. That's one lesson I learned, because I gotta live with that shit. That shit hurts.
Yeah.
I'm like, God damn, man, you really let that shit. And my nigga Jew was telling me, he's like, yo, he ain't gonna be here forever, man. You might wanna say what you gotta say and just get it out the way. And I'm just like, nah, I'm like, I'm calling back. Like, I got time forever. Yeah. Like, we always think we got forever. We fucking don't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so I wanna ask you something. Word. Go ahead, Rick. Okay, so 2 years. Mm. Give me the next. I wanna focus on your musical journey, because I fucked with you before we sat down. And that's why I always tell people podcasts are important.
Mm.
Because in what world do you get to sit down with someone for an hour to have a genuine conversation?
Right.
If there's not a camera here, because niggas be busy trying to, like, this is a great
facts.
Conversation, but it's still marketing at the
end
of the day.
That's true. Right, so yeah.
Go ahead.
That's fact.
As an artist, do you feel you get more impact from like a radio marketing run or a podcast run now, especially in this climate?
In this climate, I would say podcast run, because you get to really talk and get to really not only just connect with the person you're talking to, but with the audience. You're saying shit you never even said before. Yeah. Had to say I said in this podcast, I never probably said out loud ever. Yeah. So y'all really getting to know me, and we saying real shit, and we saying it in a platform that this is a real conversation we having, but we just happen to be taping this shit.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then, by the way, you know what I'm saying? By the way, it's evergreen. You have this shit forever. You might put the clip out of Apologize to Chaz, and it's like, damn. It's just, to me, this is an opportunity to say what I want to say and put it. If you want to hear everything I said, you can go to YouTube. But I can take this one clip, put on my TikTok, my Instagram, my social platforms, and just say, this is where I'm at right now. And there's no better tool than that, because it goes back to what I'm saying about the influencer. Like, the rapper, like Cat Williams. I use Cat Williams. Cat Williams, his biggest special. And by the way, he's done some huge specials. Yes, his biggest special wasn't a special.
Nope.
It was an interview with
him on that couch saying
Shannon Sharp. It was funny as hell. It was entertaining as hell. And it broke the record for YouTube. Mm. He could have easily said, oh, I'm not doing that. Or I want to do this. But no, he understood that, nigga, I'm just going to talk my shit here on the camera, nigga. We having a conversation. Shannon put that shit out. 100 million views later, it's like, damn, how much money was made doing that? How many people? He probably going to sign a just $300 million deal.
Just telling his truth.
That's why I tell people. But my question to you is, I wanted to ask you about the next 2 years of your musical journey. Mm. Like, we just dropped an album. Like, for the people watching, to set the tone for what to expect from you going forward in, like, musically. Like, are we dropping an album every 6 months? Are we dropping, we're gonna work this album for 2 years? Like, I just want people to know, like, where are you, what's your plan for music?
I think I am gonna try to continue to drop at least 2 albums a year. Because I don't time it sometimes. Maybe I should, but I make the music and y'all get it when it's fucking ready. But sure. I'm gonna try to be more concise time-wise with it, but that's just how I do it. It's not that it's like, this album was supposed to drop earlier than it did, and I wasn't ready to drop it. Yeah. I said I'm gonna add more songs to it, tweak it a little bit. I think it came out like a fucking masterpiece, if you ask me.
For sure.
But that's me taking my time and curating it the way I heard it. But I'm gonna try to drop 2 albums a year. I'm also gonna put on my guys that I have under this company, Team Main Dope Gang. It's officially a label now, and I'm gonna sign artists and give them opportunities to have a shot at making it and make money. Especially now that I understand how to actually make money in the lane I'm in.
For sure.
I can provide that opportunity to others. Oh, we gonna do that.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, especially my guys that I wanna get out the street for real. Yeah. What? I feel like this is a blessing, because I couldn't effectively change their lives monetarily with the music business the way it was structured all these other years. Yeah. Now that I can, I'm like, oh, no, I'm putting niggas on.
Yeah.
So you said the bar limits is another thing. I was like, oh, I'm doing that. I'm a big believer in, if you got the ladder, put that shit down.
If you ever need me to show up at the championship, we'll come. It's for the world. I just got to ask you something. I'm like, because Queens runs deep.
Rax.
Give me your top five MCs. No, I don't want to say that. Top five most important figures in Queens history. Your top five.
My top five.
Well, I said figures. I didn't say rappers. Right. It could be anybody.
Figures. Oh, figures.
It could be figures.
That changes a little bit.
That changes a little bit. Because runs so deep.
Well, I mean, I probably would have to give it more thought, but off the top of my head, Nas can be the top of the food chain.
Okay.
For what he did for music, and me personally, music-wise, this is my favorite guy. So Nas gonna be the first one. I'm gonna have Prodigy up there too. Prodigy's in my top five.
Okay.
The effect, Mobb Deep period, but Prodigy specifically as an MC and what he brought to the game, he affected my style.
Prodigy
as well,
said the lyric, no matter how much money I get, I'm never leaving the project. That was him that said it, right? Wasn't
that was Havoc. That was Havoc.
Okay, cool. All right, cool.
But Prodigy says, I break bread. Like, he just said so many ill things in rap. If you listen to my music, a lot of his lines is in my music, dripped in there. Like, a lot of his influence is in a lot of my records. Like, in one of the, I throw a TV at you, crazy. It's in the hook. Like, it's so Prodigy up in there.
That's two.
LL Cool J for sure.
Shout out to the GOAT.
That's the GOAT. You can't mention GOAT. Queens without talking about. Yep. You know what I mean? I'm put 50 Cent in there. 50 Cent in there.
I like this list. I like this list.
50 too influential to not mention that man. You know what I'm saying? And niggas that we had B, I had no problem with 50. I'm still a fan of G-Unit.
For sure.
Despite all the fucking rumors I hear in the hood, Black Hand, G-Unit. Nah, them niggas too instrumental They too influential for Queens.
Yes.
I put 50 in there. G-Unit period, but definitely 50 created that. So I mentioned Sun. And then
so we got if it's not Nas, Prodigy, 50, LL, who's a fan?
And if it's not just rap, we're gonna put Chaz Williams in there.
Let's get it. By the way, that's the realest nigga shit you could do.
It ain't just rap, we gotta put Chaz in there.
A lot of people from Queens.
I'm about to say,
hold on. I gave him a whole nother five that he didn't even mention just now.
I'm about to say, that's why I want to get into a little bit.
Oh, name it, name it real quick.
Russell Simmons.
Okay.
Run DMC.
Facts indeed. I was going to say that too, but that's okay, what I'm saying.
Marley Marl took an impact.
Oh, facts. So,
Juice Crew.
Facts Marley indeed. Marl. Yeah, facts indeed. But see, them guys didn't affect me directly.
Gotcha. Right.
But they influenced gotcha. Other niggas that affected me. Queens, that's why, so I'm saying. Many.
Gotcha. So, hold on, who you said? That's three.
Nori.
Nori.
Oh, Nori, that's a fact, yeah.
My Lost Boys.
Ooh. They down a block for me, too.
Right, I'm going to say that.
I'm going to try to get my five queens.
I'm going to try to get my five. I don't have the connection, but from the outside looking in, I'm going to say Russell.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to mention Russ.
I don't know much, but I'm going to say Russell. I'm going to say LL for sure.
Yeah, yes. You got to put L in there.
LL, Russell, and Run DMC to me, you got to have.
That's Queens.
That's Queens. Set it off.
But that also is... That also is with show Queens, to me, it was, hip-hop was New York, the Bronx. We give everybody that. Mm. But Queens brought the get the money.
Yeah.
Russell,
the
Run.
Swag shit, the money shit, all that. That's Queens.
So Russell, Run DMC, LL, 50 Cent.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one, because it's and I'm a, I gotta say Nas.
That was not my five impactful.
Cause Nas right. is, cause I wanted to throw Stout in there, cause Stout is very
Stout
important.
Stout is from Queens.
Stout is from Queens. Mm-hmm. Okay. I wanted to throw a couple people in there, but if I said Stout, I think Russell has done more.
Yes.
Right? So I was, only person that I feel bad for not putting there is Nikki. Cause a woman
should be
in there.
Yeah. She's around the corner from where I live at. Yeah, Nikki too,
but
very influential.
But
yeah.
I can't, Run DMC is the first hip-hop superstars.
Right.
LL Cool J is the first superstar in hip-hop.
So, yes.
Russell is the orchestrator of hip-hop as it is right now. Then you got 50, who to me took it, had the greatest run in hip-hop history. Mm. Like, potent run.
That's a fact.
Not the longest.
Yeah, we're talking just a high level up here. So I got potent, 4, 6, 7, 8 years everything.
I got to add the extended clip then because I got to make it six. I got to make it six instead of seven. I mean, six instead of five and add Nikki in there.
For sure.
You have to.
She's from around the corner. Her impact is too great to not add her.
She's the top.
So we're going
to
make a top six. We got to add Nicki Minaj in there.
That's what I want to give Nikki. But like, and then Nas. Nas is probably the greatest.
I think he's the greatest lyricist of all time.
Nas, so I always say this. I always say 1994 is the most important year in hip-hop history. 94.
Illmatic.
Because... 94, before 94, no one is still here before 94. I mean, LL, yes. But LL was the innovator of girl rap.
Right.
Street rap. He's the innovator. So he kind of is like, he's kind of like Dr. J. He's going to be here forever, right?
Fact,
but,
yeah.
You know, like when you look at, you know, like the Nas brought the... It was like, okay, rap is different now.
It was conversation
rap.
Yeah.
It was like we was rapping, but we didn't care about the person. Like we love Rakim, but we love what Rakim was saying. We didn't know him. Mm. It was like when you heard Illmatic, it was like a kid opening his heart to like what he saw.
That's what it felt
but
like.
But a gifted kid, right? Right. So.
And he was lyrical and fly.
Yeah,
he brought that fly queen shit, the get money shit, and all the bars. I was like captivated,
you know,
like, oh shit,
you know,
that's Queens.
What it was, 94 was the first time that rappers didn't feel like caricatures. Mm. They didn't feel like characters. Like nigga, nobody ran into a nigga like Kid and Play. Like, them niggas was like characters to us. Like,
they had a cartoon.
They was fire.
They had a cartoon.
Nigga, Kid and Play is the shit, but yes. I'm saying they were like different. Like, what is that? Like,
right.
What I mean? Like, if you look at like Rakim dressed like Rakim was one of the flyest niggas in hip hop history, but the nigga just looked like a fucking, he looked perfect, my nigga.
No,
like
nobody looked more like a rapper.
Nobody
than
looked
in
more
the history
like
of rap
perfect,
than Rakim.
No rapper
nobody.
Looked more perfect for rap. Big Daddy Kane was incredible, but it was like we knew it was gonna end. I don't know how to explain it. It was kind of like, how long is this going to last? 94, Biggie drops Ready to Die, Outkast comes, Nas comes, Wu-Tang comes, A-Ball and MJG came, they're 93, but that's still, they came to end of 93, going into 94. And if you pay attention, those guys that all came in 94 still have a fingerprint.
In this bitch,
in this bitch right now, and are still here. Nobody after 94 rapping is like, oh my God. Like, if Rakim dropping an album is a big deal, like, Rod dropping an album?
I think he back active, though.
He just dropped.
That's what I'm saying. That's crazy.
LL about to drop his album. LL's dropping an album, I think, September 6th. Or September 6th, something like that. So you watching this renaissance come with these rappers who we never thought we'd get an album from dropping an album, but it's all because of the niggas that came from 94 on who are still here.
That's a good point.
Rapping, so, you know, because look at it. You can say, Mobb Deep dropped, what, 97?
No, 94, 95.
I thought Mobb Deep was 96.
Infamous Mobb Deep was 95.
Word?
Same year as Raekwon Purple Tape, that's 95.
Okay, so that's my point. Think about all of them niggas. Mobb Deep, still relevant. Mm-hmm. Raekwon, still very relevant. So. Everybody came after 94, still relevant. If you dropped in before that, it was kind of like you were just rapping. We liked your song, you know, like we loved Chuck Rock. We loved those guys, but those guys didn't feel like.
That was like the experimental stage.
It was like, they made a great song. It wasn't, you know what it was? 94, we became interested in a person. Before 94, we was interested in the music.
Also, also, the money started to change.
Oh, yeah, nigga.
That's around the time.
That make a difference, when the money, sure.
It wasn't just, yo, let's get a Beam and a Benz no more. Now, let's get a little more glitzy. Let's get platinum. You know what I'm saying? It started, to change.
Yep.
And we started to get into more of that, the glamour of this, and then you enter everything
else. And am I being honest with you, Queens had a major role in that.
Yes.
Yeah, I
Queens,
agree.
Niggas, Queen, like Nas, like he had a major role in that. So I got to give it to you. I want to ask you, the last thing.
Mm.
Who has the most superstars?
Well, Burrow?
Burrow. What Burrow has created the most stars and superstars? And I don't want to say in rap. I want to say the Burrow period, because the Bronx is not going to let you take J-Lo out the equation.
Great. Well, look. J-Lo's our superstar. You can't let
Well, look here, man. And this is thoughtless. I'm a Queens nigga. I'm going with my Burrow no matter what the fuck question you ask me. Don't ask me nothing. Queens, nigga. Queens. Next question.
It's hard to disagree, because all the other bro, even Brooklyn. Brooklyn got some big.
Brooklyn got a lot of stars. Jay, come on, like, so, we already know what it is.
You talking about this? Listen, you talking about Nas, Russell, LL? Dude,
it's a lot.
Man, why didn't I'm sorry, I gotta ask you this. Why didn't one entrepreneur, businessman from Queens, find a way to get McDowell's?
Ooh. Ooh.
Like, why wouldn't one nigga be like, cause see, I said it, everybody laugh, we all know what it is. What, like, one nigga, I'm just thinking, like, if I'm Queens, I'm opening on, wasn't it on, like, Jamaica Boulevard or something like
Suffolk Boulevard. Yeah. Suffolk Boulevard.
I'm like, dog, why didn't nobody go open up a McDowell's?
That should've been crazy.
And sell Big Mix, you know what I'm saying?
Here's the crazy thing.
We got the Big Mac.
I'm not sure.
Son, I don't know why. Nobody thought about that.
Here's the crazy thing. They did it in LA, I don't want to say two, 3 years ago. It was a pop-up.
It was
a pop-up. Line was down a block and around the corner. Just kidding. It was crazy. So that's funny when you said that. It was just like, yo, they really did this. And the response was incredible. So I just think about it.
Actual McDowell's?
They built, like, they basically changed the whole McDowell's into McDowell's, the branding, everything, the wrapping on the food, everything.
Somebody
did
do that recently.
In LA, they did it in LA.
In LA.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
I got to Google that. I didn't even peep that.
But that's what I'm saying. But, like, I always wondered, why didn't no hustler from Queens open the McDowell's?
That would be crazy.
I would have went to Eddie Murphy and said, bro, let me just give you 5% of this shit. You ain't got to give
you. The Bar Fest live at McDowell's.
McDowell's!
On Sufton Boulevard, Sufton and Linden. Live.
Uniform look like?
Everything.
We already know what the uniform look like.
The Big Mick is hilarious.
Big Mick is hilarious.
Bro, I just had to throw that in the air because I feel like I'm talking to
a hustler. I ain't mad.
Gets it, and I'm like,
I'm going to have to do that.
You don't do it, the hustlers do it. But I'm like, if there a McDowell's right now in Queens, and by the way, McDonald's is going to come. But we don't give a fuck.
I wonder what that lawsuit gonna look like if you take on these hours. Because I'm assuming that that show or that franchise owns that name, no?
That's what I'm saying. But like,
maybe that's why. Maybe you can't.
I'm saying, like, you know, it's a phone call away. You know,
yeah,
call
fact. Out. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You can license it. You can license it. Word.
And just do it as a 3-day pop up where you selling your album or you doing something for you.
That's how you do it.
Word.
Have somebody make a fake Big Mick. Like, let me tell you something. T.I. has a business in Atlanta called the Trap Museum. Mm. That was just a pop-up for his Dime album.
Mm.
It was supposed to be a 3-day pop-up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean to put a business on the street, but I heard they're making over $100,000 a weekend from that business that was just a pop-up as a dedication to 10 years of trap, 10 albums of trap music, and let's do a trap museum and celebrate the kings of trap. And it's a whole business now. Have lines around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pop-up.
That's crazy.
Hustler shit. Hustler
I'm
shit.
I'm into it, nigga. I'm into
nigga,
it.
Nigga, hustler shit, nigga. But you know what I would do? Let me tell you, I would do it. I would shoot a music video at McDonald's.
Yeah. McDonald's wasn't even on it, so you good.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I would shoot a music. That's what I'm saying. I would shoot a music video at McDonald's, and then like how Future and 21 Savage did when they did the Life Is Good with Drake when they
with had
it. I would do something like that, but like at a McDonald's, but sell food.
Word.
I need a Big Mick.
I need a Big Mick.
I need a Big Mick. Hey, mind you, what he said, they have sesame seeds. We don't have sesame seeds.
We don't have sesame beans. Right.
You already told you everything, bro. What are we doing?
That's the go.
What the fuck? I'm trying to tell you that shit will grab. That shit will shut.
Nah, it's a fact.
Queens down.
It was on Linden and what? You remember?
I think it was Linden.
No, Jack Daniels was always like, that was on my block. It was like, I know exactly where it was. It was like, what is it? I'm like, bro, McDonald's. I'm trying to tell you, bro.
I'm fucking with you.
Because what people don't understand, I always say, I know I'm like, we done. But I'm like, what people don't understand, I always like them to think about is, you got to think about the fact that there are things that are in our culture that are fake.
Mm.
But still, when people hear it, they react. That right. tells me there's an opportunity there.
Facts.
There's an opportunity to create that.
Mm-hmm. So you're like a marketing genius with certain shit.
I don't think I'm a creative.
But as soon as you hear shit, like, and then they come with the fucking home after plan.
You know what it is? I'm a guy.
That's dope, though. That's a talent. That's a gift.
I think a lot. So I'm always a guy that I hear shit and I'm like, why the fuck didn't I think of that?
Right.
Damn, that's a good idea. So I'm always thinking, like, I'm a Virgo. Our whole mentality is, like, Virgos have a famous saying, like, I see what you did, but let me show you how to make it better. Like, Virgos are very, like, thought about, like, how can you take something and perfect it, make it this? But I'm like, when I think Queens, mind you, I have Jack Daniels around me every day, and Jack will not let you not acknowledge Queens. And mind you, nigga, I love where I'm from, man, but it's like, it's deep. Nigga, we've done a Queens Day show on this show where we had like 9 niggas from Queens fly in and talk about Queens. Cause he talks about Queens so much, he's like, man, I need to just get this nigga. I gave him the shit. He sat in my seat and did. And they was who was the biggest? Rock Waller came. All these superstar Jay came. All these guys came in. Flight came. All these guys came in. So when I think about that, I'm like, how can you? You can go anywhere in the world and say I'm from Queens, and people are gonna be like, what? And it's gonna be a connection there. Then what is Queens connected to that you can give to the world that makes the money? That's how I think.
Word.
You know what I'm trying to say? It's like, nigga, how can I take Queens to Atlanta right now? A McDowell's. I want to taste the Big Mick, nigga. You know what I'm saying? I really want that myself. That's what I'm, and I'm like, you should do, because I'm like, why ain't no Queens hustler did it, bro?
That's crazy. I never had that thought in my life. It's interesting as fuck.
Yeah, man. It's just that, man.
I'm going to see it. Even if it was a pop-up, you're right. That'd be crazy.
That shit would be.
They would see it. They would see it. They would laugh and then be like, oh, I'm going. Reminiscent shit. And they use all them drops from the show, recreate all that shit.
And let me tell you what I think you could also do. I think you could also do, you could also get, is it James Amos?
James Amos that played the father?
That played the father.
Right.
You can get him. Man, come shoot through. 10,000, man. Come host this thing for us, McDonald's. Yeah. Bring the camera. Man, he might come. Bro, we are out of here.
Bring that. I need that fur and that chain. Bring that.
No, but listen. Imagine him talking to you like, hey, listen now, Graf. Don't fuck the Big makeup because, you know, it's my
crew. Hey,
like,
right.
I got you. You know what I'm saying? Like, like, it's just like a character. You dressed up like, don't fuck the Big makeup. Then he walks away. Then you start spitting. And here we got a music video. And we got a pop-up. And his money making. And all that other shit.
That's fucking fire.
We got to stop giving this shit away, man.
Yeah, right?
Everybody take it, nigga. I'm going to take that one.
Well, ain't nobody from Queens that could take it right now if I do it fast enough.
No, but listen.
That's a motherfucker right
it's
there.
It's a hustler that has to do it. That's what I'm telling
yeah,
you.
Yeah, facts.
That's another thing. Own Queens.
Like, we got crack in the Big Mick, y'all.
Yep. So look, man, you know, I just want to tell you, man, thank you. Yeah, his album is out right now. I'm gonna read indeed. The title, so I want to make sure I it's God's timing.
Yes, okay, sir.
Just making sure. 38 Session Graph. I just fuck with you, bro. I just want to thank you, bro. Like I genuinely fuck with you from a distance, but the more I talk to you, the more I'm like, I want to see that nigga win. And I tell artists like yourself, if you're pure and your heart is real, talk.
Right.
Because that message will get to the people and they'll tap in.
They'll get it
because they hear how much you care about it.
Not
and when
fact.
You have someone else care so much, you definitely want to care. Because like, damn.
That's real.
That dude really cares about that. Like, in the way that no one else does. So for me, it's like, I just want to see you keep winning. Bar, anything you doing that you want us that, bar, we are with you.
We nah, facts,
count us
man.
As
facts,
a media
facts,
friend,
facts,
media
facts.
Partner, media family, media everything, bro. Because the goal is to see you win at the highest level, and hopefully this show was a slight spark in that.
Nah, you gave me so many jewels in this shit, man. I want to let me shout out everybody on the album, man. Shout out to Method Man for showing me so much love. Shout out to the Rock Boys, of course. Freeway, Bleak, Petey Crack. That record came together so magically. Everybody going crazy over this shit because it's nostalgic for people from our era to see all of the Rockefeller dudes in one area. Plus, a lot of niggas even know I was on the Rock.
Yes, that's
so what like, he was on the Rock. I'm like, yeah, I was on the Rock for like 6 minutes, nigga. Yeah. But yeah, this shit happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Shout out to my nigga Dre Island. Shout out to Vado. Shout out to Jim Jones. Me and Jim Jones just shot a video.
I just talked to him the other day. I love that nigga, bro.
Jim, a L nigga,
solid
man.
Solid nigga, bro.
Solid. Jim has shown me love at the beginning of my career, man. Shout out to Jim, man.
And
Jim,
I told him he needed to be the
and
president.
And Jim is a rapping ass rapper.
Yes.
He will rap your ass, man.
He's dedicated to the process.
Yes.
Like, he's a nigga that's like, I'm going to do it, my job. I'm not trying to be above my job.
And he's only concerned with getting better and better and out rapping you niggas.
That's the part you just said. He's gotten better and better over time.
He's like, nigga, I'm dead ass thirst. I'm gonna rap you niggas around you niggas. Like, he ain't playing. Jim ain't playing with this shit.
Yeah, he got that deal.
He got the passion right for this shit too. So I fuck with Jim. Besides, back here, real nigga, and it's always love, but he care about this. He care about being better than you niggas. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like,
for sure.
Word. Shout out to Jim. My nigga on the hook. Sai Already Kids on that hook.
Oh, yeah.
Body that.
For sure. He a dope writer too.
Shout out to my nigga Bun B. Bun B's like my big bro. He's not on this album, but this is the first album I ever released that doesn't have Bun on it. Bun is on every single project I ever dropped.
Bun a real nigga.
That's a graph, fun fact right there. Bun B is my big bro. He's on every project I ever fucking dropped. Mm. Only reason he's not on this one is because I did a different record with him that I didn't put on his album. I actually remixed it, so it'll be on the next album. Mm. But he's on every album I ever dropped. Since the first album I ever put out, mixtape, till now.
That's
every
crazy.
Project. Me and Bun got over 20 records together.
Wow. That's crazy. You should do a
shout out to Scarface. Scarface also my big homie. We haven't done no music together, but Scarface is my big bro too.
Last thing I'm gonna say, I'm like, I want to just give you some advice real quick. Don't a lot of rappers, purists, this is a warning. We didn't even talk about this, but I'm gonna say it to you because I fuck with you. Mm. Don't get so caught up in the grand OCO of an album that you forget that you can do something in a week, making an album almost like a time capsule. So what I mean by that is like, it could be like you and Bun, right? You got 20 songs with Bun. It's like you and Bun dropping a record called Queens, Texas, or some shit like that, right? Now, it might not, it's only for people who wanna hear that.
Right.
But it's there, right? Like, I always tell artists, like, create moments, right? So. It might be like album from Queens Day, like Flex did Live on Lennox, right? Like, didn't he do like Live on Lennox or something? Who did that album? Like, Flex had a live album.
No, Live on Lennox?
Somebody had a live album. But what I'm saying is, my mind is all over the place. But what I'm trying to say is that, I don't want to get lost in it. What I'm trying to say is that you can do like a Queens album just for Queens. Like, it ain't got to be grand. It could just be you and I'm going to go to, whenever you from Southside Jamaica, Queens, right?
Yeah, Jamaica,
so you might go to a nigga from from Baisley. You might go to a nigga from Queensbridge. And it's just, who's the hottest MC? And now you just dropped the album like, nigga.
Queens get the money.
Queens get the money. Like, that's just the album. By the way, it might only be in Queens, but nigga, these are these are things that you stack on top. And mind you, it might be a classic, but it doesn't have to be because you just told us what it was.
Right.
You trying to do something different for your city. Intent. Just, I always tell rappers, don't ever get caught on that. Because you might come to ATL and hang out with me for 4 days, right? It might be like 4 days in ATL. Here's a 6-song project I did. Like, damn, like what? So now we know it was done in 4 days. We got content gathering what you did in 4 days. And now people are seeing it. And that's just a moment in time.
I like that. Yeah, that's a cool ass time capsule, yes. A way to see things. That's dope.
Yeah, think like that. Because I always tell rappers, I'm like sometimes you got to just, like, it doesn't matter what it is if we know what the purpose of it was.
Right.
So when you hear best of both worlds, like, it's like.
It's like capturing a moment, you basically saying. You capture
it's
a moment.
It's like a picture. It's like a musical picture moment. Yeah. It's like, Graf woke up today, September, and I want to do an album. I want to do an album with nothing but the dopest Queens MCs. And I want to do it in the next 2 weeks. And by the way, you're saying this, physically saying this. I want to do an album in the next 2 weeks. So if you in Queens, you know this, I want to know who the hottest niggas in every neighborhood. Tag the neighborhood and the MC. And now you pulling up to the neighborhood. Now, how big does that make you look?
Right.
Now you pulling up to the neighborhood. Now the niggas from, now you pull up to the fucking Queensbridge, the niggas like, I'm the hottest nigga here. Nigga, I'm the hot, I got three niggas from Queensbridge telling me they the hottest nigga. Now I could do a record with all three, I could do a record with one of y'all. I need y'all niggas to show me. By the way, capture all of this shit.
Right.
Now, cause it's like, the key to our world, the key to our business, the key to being successful. Last thing, if you don't remember nothing I said, remember this, is spectacles. Spectacles is what changes our perception of people. When you see 10,000 kids running behind somebody, you see them differently.
Right.
If you see 300 little girls running behind somebody, you can't see them the same.
Right, right.
If we don't see that, we don't know that, we can't change how we feel about you, we can't do nothing because we didn't see. Show us.
Right.
Show us that you can get 300 kids to show up to a place to rap for you. That's gonna change the whole entire trajectory. It's gonna make you look like not an MC, but a business.
Right, right.
A brand. And it's all based on what you're known for. So now, when you start saying, nobody care about bars, I got 500 niggas in the room saying that's a fucking lie.
Facts.
Now the brand say, he got 500 people in the room saying that's a lie. I think we might need to invest more. It's just all you gotta do is show the people what you can do and the people gonna show up.
I'm into it.
Right. This is Artist Spotlight. Shout out to our sponsor, Two Loss. Shout out to Graf for coming through to the house where we in New York and talk. You know, it's like a fake Joe Budden set. But, you know, Joe Budden's my nigga, so I can say that and we can laugh at it. You know, but don't do that. But we just set up like that. But shout out to you for watching. Shout out to the people. And, man, just shout out to Graf for being a good nigga. And we got to celebrate good niggas because if the fake keep winning, the kids are going to think you got to be fake to win.
That's a fact.
And if we don't, and Killer Mike told me that yesterday. No, he said, real. Ray, you got to start telling people more, say my name more, because if they don't hear you and people like you saying my name, they're not going to think that they have to do it. They're going to think they have to do it the other way.
Right.
They're not going to think they have to go through the process.
I like that he said that because it's so fucking true. You could be authentic to your brand, authentic to this culture, and still win, still get it back, still live your dream the right way with integrity, and wake up in the morning and be like, I did it my way, which was the right way. I have to follow their way, which seems like the only way. You ain't got to be a sucker to win in this shit. You can be yourself, be true, be passionate, and be authentic, and still get to it.
I'm going to tell you right now, this is the Artist Spotlight, we out, but I want you to know Chaz is in you. That sounded like something Chaz would say based on everything you said. That sounded like
he would.
So it never dies. That's why it's important for us to give it to someone.
Facts.
My nigga.
Appreciate you.
Artist Spotlight, we out. Let's go.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.